KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Oh, Pittsburgh, California.
Oh, I'm not from the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Pinole, California.
San Jose.
Coming up, we're celebrating Cross Currents' 10th anniversary. We'll go down memory lane to when we first went on the air.
Great idea. Why didn't we do it sooner?
We'll remember the historic moments that have shaped our coverage over the past decade.
They get a call based on a neighborhood, and they know certain neighborhoods are black neighborhoods or brown neighborhoods, people of color neighborhoods.
We'll celebrate the journalists and community members who made it all happen, and we'll have some fun, too.
He's at the warning track.
Get ready for a show that's been 10 years in the making. Cross Currents is coming up. With me today is KALW News Director Ben Trefney. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Hannah, and I'm so excited to be here with you, but first, I have something special I want to play to kick off today's show.
Ooh, a present?
It might be a little deja vu-y.
Okay.
Let's listen.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
My guest phrase.
That's Holly Kernan, our California. First news director who founded KALW's news department. And she shared hosting duties with you, Hannah.
P-World. Okay.
Corona Heights, San Francisco.
On today's show, unemployment's up, the deficit is up, San Francisco parking ticket costs are up, but you may get a break on your Muni pass.
Great idea. Why didn't we do it sooner? And why hasn't this been more prominent on the radar of all levels of government?
Plus, the day laborers you may not be seeing on the streets, and a vehicle that's just around the corner.
I could drive 169 miles on the energy contained in a gallon of gasoline.
Those stories and more on the Bay Area's newest evening news show, Cross Currents.
This is the start of the first ever episode of Cross Currents. It aired on August 4th, 2008, just about 10 years ago exactly.
Oh my God, Ben. I mean, that takes me back. Electric cars, politics. We talked about so many things that day, but it feels like yesterday we've done so much since that time.
Well, the country's changed a lot in the last decade, of course, in the Bay Area, too. And back then, if we look back, there was the recession. There were a lot of people who were out of work. Media was really shrinking at that time.
Yeah.
And for us, it was time here at KALW to make something different.
Right. And the idea was to create a news and culture program for the Bay Area that would be informative, it would be engaging, and even, dare we say, joyful.
Absolutely. Joyful when we can and responsive to what was going on around us economically, socially, politically. And we wanted to be reporting on wealth and poverty, on homelessness.
Right. Arts, culture, immigration, and sports.
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 In the last 10 years, Hannah, the Bay Area has won 6 championships in the most publicized sports.
Mm-hmm. And the Golden State Warriors got 3.
And so did the San Francisco Giants. That all started when the Orange and Black won the World Series back in 2010.
Yes.
We talked with a lot of people about it back then.
You're watching the highlights for like an hour after the game, and you replay the home run.
2-0 the count, Lee pitches. Edgar Renteria hits a high drive into left center field. David Murphy at the warning track. Count 2-0. Cliff Lee pitches. High fly ball. Deep into center field. Murphy's going back. He's at the warning track.
At the warning track.
On the wall. It's gone.
He's at the wall. And it's
gone.
Okay, Ben, you guys had too much fun making that.
Yeah, it was fun and exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it was a big decade for Bay Area sports. And this has been an interesting decade for Bay Area politics.
Yeah, I mean, at the national level, too, the Bay has been home to some of the biggest power players. And Ben, we've always paid close attention to local politics,
yeah,
always.
We can't avoid it.
No, but we've put a special focus on these people who we have a chance to vote into office. Like, I'm talking about interviewing all the mayoral candidates in Oakland and San Francisco every time there's an election.
That's
sound
right.
Familiar, Ben?
Yeah, I love interviewing all of them.
You've
I mean, whether
been doing
they have
that.
A, whether they have a chance or not.
Yeah, some of the candidates like Michelle Bravo, Richie Greenberg.
Right, those two were just running for election here in San Francisco. And in Oakland, Nancy Sidebotham, Peter Liu.
Mm-hmm, Francisco Herrera, Broke-ass Stewart.
Broke-ass Stewart.
Yes. Yeah,
they all get an equal chance to be heard here on Cross Currents. And it's so important to hear ideas that come from outsiders, I think, because it helps us see the world a little bit differently.
Yeah, and one of the things we always ask the candidates to do is take part in our community-building segment called My Mixtape. It's about music. It's people share a song or a piece of music that means something special to them.
Right. So there's one that's really poignant for me, Hannah, and mm-hmm. that was the mixtape that former San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee made when he ran for re-election back in 2014. Mm. And he chose a pretty familiar song. Let's take a listen.
My name is Ed Lee. I'm Mayor of San Francisco, and I live in the Glen Park District. And my favorite song for a long time has been Let's Stay Together by Al Green.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do.
It's been one of those songs that always rings in my head. It's smooth. It's the message there is whatever happens, and a lot of things are always happening. I think the biggest advantage is that we all stay together and work things out. And if you listen to the words, it really describes a lot of challenges that we're facing, ones that we still do today. And I think the advantage that we have in San Francisco, and something that I've been promoting, is a lot more solidarity with the different views, and then figure out solutions together.
Oh, that was Mayor Ed Lee, who just passed away in December.
Yeah, yeah. And while I really do think that he wanted to bring people together, this is a very, very hard place, San Francisco, that was changing so dynamically during his tenure.
You mean the tech boom?
Oh, yeah, the tech boom.
Mm-hmm. And how it's been transforming the city. Downtown, real estate, gentrification.
Right. So much of our coverage here at Cross Currents over the last decade has been about these changing economics here in the Bay Area.
And that's really embodied by the work of KLW's David Boyer.
David Boyer.
And his series, The Intersection.
Yeah, so I was talking with David back when he was in our training program, and mm-hmm. we're seeing the city just changing under everybody's feet. And David has this idea to try and get his reporting ahead of this wave.
Yeah.
So he thinks if he chooses an intersection that shows the way things were, the way things are, and the way things are going, it's going to capture the moment.
David took his project to the Tenderloin, to the corner of Golden Gate and Leavenworth. And with support from the San Francisco Arts Commission and California Humanities, he made a podcast series that really got to know the people who live and work at that intersection.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. The immigrant families, mm-hmm. the city's oldest union hall, the social workers who are there, the drug dealers, and the people who are living without homes.
Yeah, David spent a whole year reporting there, and he was often, like, literally on the ground. Let's give a listen to part of the first episode where he got to know a woman named Katrina who stays on the sidewalk every day.
What are you doing?
I'm doing an audio documentary on this corner.
Oh, you gonna get your ass whooped?
Hopefully not.
But what you wanna hear him say? Roxy, Xanax, Chima, Narcos? Whatever all you wanna hear, but they're not gonna say nothing around you. So.
No, I'm not looking for that. I'm actually
like
talking.
What?
I'm just talking to people to find out, like, okay. Like for instance, like, what are you doing here right now?
I'm waiting on the childcare center to close, so I go sit in my tent and cook my dinner.
Katrina and her husband Coop are sitting on the sidewalk, leaning against a large black suitcase and a granny cart filled with their possessions. They are keeping an eye on the childcare center across the street. As soon as it closes, they cross Golden Gate Avenue and grab a spot for the night. Like many of the nonprofits in the area, the center probably won't call the cops to remove them. These service providers know all too well that there are few places for the homeless to go, and moving them from this spot will not solve anything.
So that was Katrina and Coop. There were two people who David Boyer met through his podcast, The Intersection.
Right. Voices that are so important to hear today.
Yes, yes. And when that project was finished, David turned his attention down south to an intersection right at the heart of the change in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley and Googleville, Mountain View.
Tech has transformed the Bay Area, right? And for chronicling its changes, our David Boyer won an Edward R. Murrow Award for Best News Documentary.
Yeah, well earned, David.
Yeah, he was in the first class of our Audio Academy training program, and he was your mentee, Ben.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Our staff members, you know, they always work really closely with trainees to try to help them learn the art and craft of journalism. It's in our nature here in our news department.
Oh, yeah, we love to teach, and we're about to start our sixth sixth Audio Academy class next month.
I'm so excited. And thanks to the Association for Continuing Education and the support that they've given us, we've been able to run this Audio Academy every year and basically bring in 8 to 10 students for about 9 months at a time to really teach them the ins and outs and everything we know about radio journalism. Mm-hmm. So one that we've got here is from Todd Whitney. Mm-hmm. And I was working with him on a story about a real living wage for the Bay Area as there was all this talk about minimum wages, but what really do people need actually to live on? This is part of the story he came up with.
All right. So we just pulled up to our first stop. We're at a little taqueria joint called Taqueria Menudo in the Excelsior District. I'm here with Ken Jacobs, head of the UC Berkeley Labor Center. And we're talking about what the impact of having the highest minimum wage in the country has had on San Francisco businesses like this one. So, Ken, what'd you find?
In limited service restaurants like this, we found an increase in worker tenure. People were staying on the job longer, and that saves money for restaurants as well in terms of hiring and recruiting costs, improves productivity and customer service. So they get some savings there. But the larger thing is they are absorbing it through a little bit higher prices.
And this summer, Hana, you know, because they're all around, we've been working with 20 trainees within our newsroom, both adults and teenagers, through summer internships.
Their presence is just so great in
the newsroom.
Oh, it's
energizing.
We love it. And we've been doing it for years. Ben, we've got to hear a clip from one of the stories our younger people have made.
Yeah, we do.
How about that one from Jackie Chu when he was right here at Burton High School where we are based? This one is about dragon boat racing in the Bay.
5, 7, 9.
Come on.
Up.
Nice.
Dragon boat looks like a gondola, but with a colorful scale pattern on its side. During a race, we have a dragon tail attached to the back of the boat and a head of a dragon attached to the front of the boat. There are about 18 to 19 paddlers on this boat currently. All of the paddlers are students from different schools around the Bay Area. Dragon boat is a workout. People on the boat are paddling and everyone's kind of tired.
Keep your eyes up! Better! Anchor! Now!
Anchor! Now!
That's right! Keep this! Believe in it! Believe in each other!
All right, Jackie Chu. And we loved that one. That story was so great.
Yeah.
And speaking of training, it does not all take place within the walls of KELW. We leave this station. We head out to people where they are to teach them about journalism, and we love it.
That's right. This last year, we worked with more than 100 teenagers in high schools and after-school programs throughout the Bay Area. That was with our partners in the San Francisco Unified School District, who mm-hmm. owns the license for KELW, along with the East Oakland Youth Development Center and Rise Youth Services in Richmond and Sunset Youth Services here in San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I love hearing the voices of these young people, voices that just maybe don't get heard anywhere else.
Yeah, they need to be heard.
All right, Ben, let's take a little break. Let people who just tuned in know what's happening. This is Cross Currents from KELW News. And our news director, Ben Trefney, and I are looking back on how the Bay Area and our world has changed in the last decade. Why, you might ask? Because this Saturday is the 10th anniversary of when Cross Currents launched. So, Ben, what's something that you wouldn't have expected about what we're doing now compared to a decade ago when we started out?
Huh. Well, I mean, it's funny, Hana, because, you know, we came into this as just sort of straight ahead journalists, picturing mm-hmm. it that way. But I think a word that comes up here so much at KELW, it's come up so much we laugh about it, actually, is the word community.
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 And it's become the heart and soul of what we do. We've really evolved in our thinking in this last decade about how important the connections are that we make and how important it is to listen to each other, not just to tell stories, but to listen to what people have to say, not to just think we got all the answers, but to learn from the people we're working with.
And not to parachute into communities,
no.
But rather, you know, really, really foster relationships within the communities first.
And that's the kind of thing that really spawned our work with Sights and Sounds. And mm-hmm. we should talk about that Sights and Sounds project for a little bit.
We are working in a lot of ways with people living in East Oakland to tell stories about the community.
The community.
And we just hosted a live event there on Tuesday. There was stories and poetry. Mm-hmm. And we've got many partners who help us out, like the Oakland Public Library. We partnered with them, the San Francisco Arts Commission, the California Arts Council. We can't do it without any of these people.
And we can't do it without Oakland Voices.
No.
And with the Maynard Institute for Journalism Education and the California Endowment.
And I think some of the value here is on-the-ground storytelling from people who really know the neighborhoods, working with our journalists. And that way you can tell the most authentic stories, right? The most insightful stories. It's like your stories, your voice. We just teach you how to do the reporting and you get the mic and you go.
So here's a piece. This is a story by Aquila Lewis, who is part of Oakland Voices. Mm-hmm. And she told it with our help and support about her grandma's house getting foreclosed upon.
Being back in the neighborhood was hard for me. It's hard to picture it, dangerous. I always felt safe, even walking at night. But by the time I left, I too noticed the change. I've always dealt with hardships through my poetry and spoken word. And since my grandmommy's foreclosure, I've been writing a lot.
A city that's forgotten them. I see the leftovers. Only a handful of leftovers. Gunshells in the ground have created another art piece. Murals decorate empty walls, vacant buildings, storefronts, and homes tell the story. Where have the people gone?
And it makes me think, Ben, about other big projects we've taken on to shine a light on problems that affect the people of the Bay Area. One is housing, which we just mentioned. We also look at public health. Earlier this year, our health and environment reporters, Marissa Ortega-Welch and Angela Johnston, took on the topic of lead poisoning. And we know it's a topic that drew national attention when the water crisis hit in Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, and so Marissa and Angela took on a week-long investigative project about lead poisoning in homes throughout Alameda County.
We spent the last 6 months following one family whose lives have been complicated by lead. These are the echoey halls of Highland Hospital.
Ven, Alex, Antonio.
It's a place Anna Barrazo and her kids know well.
Ven, Antonio, mira, ven.
Antonio was diagnosed with lead poisoning more than a year ago. Annabelle's bringing him here for a blood test for the fifth time, hoping his lead levels are going down.
So that took a national health issue and focused it here on the Bay Area. But we've also anticipated national issues. And I'm thinking about the documentary that Martina Castro and Ali Budner made called Race to an Emergency.
Yeah, Race to an Emergency. That was about police-community relations. And it was investigating allegations that the 911 emergency response system in Oakland was racially biased. And Martina and Ali started working on that back in 2012. That was 2 years before Michael Brown was shot and killed by police in Ferguson, Missouri, which of course sparked all kinds of media attention on racial bias in law enforcement.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
When I called, no one showed up.
Shootings be going on in Oakland, and they don't respond as fast as they should.
I wouldn't feel comfortable calling 911. I wouldn't unless it was like I was dying.
Those are residents of East and West Oakland.
Urban communities of color where there is a lot of murders and police brutality and discrimination.
The paramedics say that, you know, they don't get a call based on anybody's color, which is true. They get a call based on a neighborhood, and they know certain neighborhoods are black neighborhoods or brown neighborhoods, people of color neighborhoods.
So that was the beginning to Race to an Emergency. It won a National Edward R. Murrow Award for Best News Documentary back in 2014.
Yeah, it was top-level reporting for sure, Hannah. But as the world's changed over this last decade, we've done journalism, but we've responded in different ways as well. We launched one of our most ambitious projects, along with reporter Nancy Mullane and producer Nigel Poor. It was called the San Quentin Prison Report. And our team started training people who are incarcerated at San Quentin State Prison. Mm. We were teaching them how to make radio stories on their own.
And that was the seed for what's now become the hit podcast, Ear Hustle.
Yeah, it's gotten nationally known.
Yeah.
And we're still teaching and training people there. We're working with almost a dozen men at San Quentin right now. And this last year, with funding from Arts and Corrections, which comes from the CDCR and the California Arts Council, we started a StoryCorps-style program in California State Prison Solano, where we're working with seven guys, so a new prison and more men. The first stories from that project are going to come out next month.
Yes, and we've made dozens and dozens of stories with the fellows in San Quentin, like this one.
Americans' views on prisons are changing a lot these days. People realize that even behind bars, we're still connected to the outside world.
I think that there's just a really powerful narrative in prison that no one cares about us, that we don't matter, that this is just the lowest point of society and actually sitting outside of society. So anything that counters that narrative is important.
That's a clip from one of the stories produced by the team we support, edit, and produce at San Quentin Radio, our journalism colleagues.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to tell you, Hannah, one of the most fulfilling moments I've experienced over this last decade with Cross Currents was when the San Quentin guys earned their first award from the Society of Professional Journalists in Northern California.
Yeah, for community journalism.
Yeah, and that awards dinner in downtown San Francisco happened to take place right after the incarcerated director of our radio work at San Quentin was paroled after nearly two decades behind bars, a guy named Troy Williams. So he had the chance to come to the ceremony and accept that honor.
Yeah, just 2 weeks after getting his freedom back.
It's good. I'm glad to be recognized, but I didn't start SQPR, build SQPR to be recognized. I built it to be heard, and I thank you guys for listening. Thank you.
Now Troy lives in the East Bay, and listen to this, Hannah. He and I are both board members at the Society of Professional Journalists in Northern California, and so I will be seeing him this Saturday at a board retreat.
So great. So we've made it a point here to help people report their stories, and we want to help people bridge these divides as well. And part of that has been the Spiritual Edge Project, led by Judy Silber.
That's right.
It's had a whole range of stories about how people find faith and connect spiritually, where they find peace, where they find joy.
Something deeper.
Yeah.
Deeper meaning.
Right. Finding deeper meaning. So let's hear an example of one of those pieces. This one actually won a National Religion Reporting Award about translating an ancient Jewish text.
How people imagine the Big Bang occurred. Right? What was it like at that moment? Just before the millisecond, before creation and the world came into being.
So that was a clip from The Spiritual Edge in Judy Silber. And there's a whole series of podcast episodes she's working on that are coming out from that project next year.
Yep.
And speaking of podcasts, Hannah, the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement and the national conversation about blackness, that inspired you and Leela Day to make the podcast The Stoop, which is stories from across the black diaspora.
Yes.
And those Stoop conversations are so fun and so on point.
Yeah,
just love them.
We have a lot of fun making them. We go deep. And we talk about stuff that, you know, is happening in our communities and we talk about, maybe we're not talking about enough. So we're bringing them up. And like this one, here's a clip from our episode about love in black communities. So Leela, did you hear I love you growing up?
Not like I heard my white friend's parents say it. I mean, they threw it around like goodbye or something. You know, love you, love you, love you. And it sounded so nice, so easy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sound like them.
But it seems for some black folks, it's not as easy, right? And that's what we're stooping about today. Why is it so hard for some of us to say I love you?
Let's get back into bed with my mom and dad.
Ooh.
An excerpt from The Stoop with Hannah, you, and Leela.
Yeah, so fun. You got to hear the rest of that, though, online. And so many more podcasts were developed right here in our newsroom. And Radio Ben has changed so much since we started.
I think it used to be Radio Shack when we started, and now it was The Shack, and now I don't think it's anything.
No, but the past 10 years have witnessed this podcast boom, and we have been front and center. We've been part of it. 99% Invisible's Roman Mars was one of our first Cross Currents engineers.
Mm-hmm.
NPR's award-winning Spanish podcast, Radio Ambulante, was co-founded by former Cross Currents producer Martina Castro.
Mm-hmm,
hey, Martina.
Hey.
But we've always maintained this local focus, local, local, right? And that includes the local sounds of the Bay with the beloved listener guessing game created by Julie Kane, Audiograph.
Audiograph. Well, we've got to listen to a clue then.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Okay.
I think I know what that is, Hannah.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly where it is, though.
I can hear you in my office.
Hope you enjoyed
it.
It's a bagpiper in downtown San Francisco. How about that?
So, Ben, Cross Currents is all about having fun with the stories we tell. We like to do that a lot. We're not shy about it. but, you know, when possible.
Yeah, I mean, I hear people say quite often the news is just depressing.
And dry.
But the news is really what makes life life, and some things are bad, and you need to pay attention to those, and we do that. But some things are good and exciting and innovative and interesting and, and fun, and, like, those are part of the news, too, and we try to reflect that as well.
Yeah, and part of what we do is we like to get listeners involved.
Oh, yeah.
So whether it's through guessing games like Audiograph or projects like Hey Area.
Hey Area.
Hey Area is where we ask you what you would like to know about the Bay Area, and then we go and report on it. Like this one listener asked, who are some of the famous people from East Oakland?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Janae Darden reported on this one.
That's right.
I tell my age, I'm 44, so of course I grew up listening to Too Short, for example.
Shout out.
Right, and I think that's important because Too Short was obviously one of the first pioneers of West Coast hip-hop, and what made him stood out was the fact that he was actually rapping about things that we saw growing up.
Music. Such a big part of life here in the Bay Area, and it's a big part of life behind the scenes here at Cross Currents, too.
Well, that is true. That is true, because we break up the day sometimes with dance parties.
We love the dance parties. They're usually led by our managing editor and pro dancer extraordinaire, Jen Chien.
Shout out to Jen for making it fun.
Uh-huh. And Ben, how do we end every Cross Currents episode?
Local music. Mm-hmm. It's always been so important to us to support local bands and the venues where they play.
I can't believe it. 10 years, Ben.
Yeah, it's time to get started on the next 10.
Oh, amen. Amen. We're ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's
Are
get
y'all
going.
Ready in there in the engineering booth? Yeah. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Hannah.
And a big, 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 big shout out to all the people who helped make Cross Currents happen in our first decade. Every single contributor, and you know who you are, and everybody in our audience. We love you all. Keep listening. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.